Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I just spent the last few days drinking half of all of Texas's like whiskey and a lot of their Tempranillo wine. I was out there with family. We were doing a lot of celebrating, and I got back here. And you know that like that decision when you get back from that kind of vacation, you say, you know what, I'm going to cool it. I'm not going to drink for a few days. I'm going to let my body catch up. And then that game happened. So.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, where's the other half?
There's cheers, everybody. Yeah. I wish I won't screen grab it because that's almost a felony in California. But you guys should see Pete's face right now. He is exactly how I feel. That was such a bummer of a game. And basically what we're gonna do. We turn on the microphones. We didn't do very much in terms of pre-show notes. We're just going to vent for a bit. So we'll see where this goes. There might be a kumbaya at some point. We'll see how this game goes. Pete, how are you holding up?
It was a kick in the balls, man. Like I'm working through it as we talk. Like it hurts. Like this one hurts. Like I'm not as mad as I am hurt because like
disappointed.
That's
so much
for dad thing, right? but it was like I felt like by and large the young core played really really well in LeBron's absence, and they were up the whole friggin' game, and they just blew it in that fourth quarter, right? On both ends of the court, they just blew it, and then Lonzo's cramps, and it was just like it just one of those everything that could go wrong did go wrong in the last few minutes. I told Jeannie even I was like I got a bad feeling about this with like 6 minutes left in the game. You could just see them kind of getting tight, you know. So
yeah, it was
freaking free throws, man. And man,
it was really a bummer because, like you said, you could kind of sort of see it coming. You know, it's just as it's happening, you're sitting there thinking, no, please don't happen. Like I know it's going to happen. Please don't do that. We really don't. And then it just the ball started rolling in the wrong direction. Lonzo, like you said, got those cramps, and it really. Like, we'll talk about some of our gripes with the game and the way it played out and all that. But one of my takeaways here, we'll start on a positive note. I really enjoy the matchup. Like, you know, you and I are both boxing fans. Styles make fights. Lonzo and De'Aaron Fox is really effing fun.
Like, it was fun. And I think that was probably the first game. The second game, he won one of them last year, and he's missed a couple with injury. But I felt like Lonzo clearly won that battle in this one. Like, Fox is going to do his thing, and he's going to put pressure on the rim. But he took 20 shots in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that gets almost exactly the same number of touches that LeBron does. Mm-hmm. So, it's like 87.6 to 87.5, something like that, right? And... But I thought the Lakers, Lonzo and Josh Hart particularly, did a really good job on him defensively. And just Lonzo, we got to talk about Lonzo, man, because like there are two camps where one is like, you know, if you're very pro Lonzo, it's like, well, he doesn't have the ball that much, right? He's not going to put up numbers. He's not going to get the assist totals, all that stuff, right? Because he's in the 50s in terms of touches. He's like 54 touches per game. And that's true. On the other hand, he does not do enough with those 54 touches. And that's probably more than he actually has, because how many of those are him just bringing the ball up and passing it off?
Yeah, right? Handing it off, yeah.
And then standing in the corner, you know, and not doing much for the rest of the possession. But on the touches that he does have, he's way too differential on those. And, like, I can almost always tell when he's going to make or miss a shot, especially from behind the 3-point line, just based on how quickly he goes. If he goes up with no hesitation, catch, I'm going up with it. Really good chance he's going to make that. Mm-hmm. When he hesitates, he's almost never going to make that. And just like that, Michael Taylor, who's Lakers Twitter guy, he tweeted out, you know, hey, this may be indicative that Lonzo needs the ball more in his hands than we like to admit. And I thought that was a really good and interesting point. So I don't know, Mel, what did you see from Lonzo tonight?
So you and I talk a lot about like point guards being point guards and doing point guard things. And one of the things that, you know, because I was a point guard and when I coached, I was really hard on my point guards. One of the things that I always told them was like, it's your job to get guys into the right spots, to make sure we're running the right sets, to make sure we're getting into those sets on time. I put a lot of responsibility on those guys, and I like that you used the word deferential in regards to Lonzo here, because there were way too many possessions where, like, you and I and everybody watching that game knows, no, we don't need a Lance isolation here. No, we don't need a Brandon Ingram isolation here. We need some type of set. We need to get into something that has a couple different options, because when Sacramento's defense was allowed to kind of hunker down and only focus on the ball handler, they were able to make those stops on those types of plays. And that's where I think Lonzo really needs to be able to vocalize and kind of put his foot down and say, no, this is what we're going to do with this play. This is what the situation calls for. And I don't know if it's a matter of him being young. You and I have talked a lot about how he's young, even for his age. And that's where I think it kind of shows up.
No, that's a great point. And I actually saw him being more assertive. That's basically what we're talking about here, yeah. Right? Is assertiveness, mm-hmm. of taking control. One of the real standout stats for me tonight was Kuzma had 6 turnovers and Ingram had 5. Now, they're definitely, with LeBron out, going to be the you give them the ball to help create a bucket in a, you know, if we're going ISO or on pick and roll type situation. But they did that too much. And those plays just aren't going to be as effective, right? Like, yeah. even with a guy like Ingram, when you look at the types of shots that he's making, and this is true of Kuzma too, it's like, you know, you can go, he was like 8 for 19, which is not awful, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like 42% or something like that. And I think he hit 1-3 and went like 5 for 8 from the line. But when you look at those 8 that he made, a lot of those are transition putbacks. They're filling the lane. They're attacking closeouts. It's things where, like, there's other action going on. When he dominates the ball as much as he does, like, it's not nearly as efficient. That's not how he's scoring most of the time when it goes well, right? Yeah. And those are possessions that, if Lonzo's in the game, right, he had the cramps, right? But Lonzo needs to take control of more of those possessions. I thought he did a better job of that in this one, but I agree that it needs to be more.
Yeah, we're going to allow this to segue naturally into what we were going to talk about in our next segment. And Brandon Ingram, look, missing the free throws, everybody on the Lakers is missing free throws this year. That splitting those free throws there doesn't bother me nearly as much as you showed us the stuff. You've been doing better at showing us the style that the Lakers need you to play, but reverting really hurt the Lakers. So we'll touch on that here in a bit.
Yeah.
Today's show is brought to you by Mizuma. Mizuma USA has helped make 2018 an incredible year for myself and the entire podcast, as I was able to focus on just the show and growing the show and all of that while they took care of all the finances. And if you have a small business that you're hoping to make grow and be able to focus solely on, I cannot advise you enough to go call Mizuma. They have bookkeepers, accountants, and CPAs all here in the U.S. You can have contact with them by way of email, chat, phone, and they're always available. So what I want to do is get you set up with at least a consultation call. Give them a call at 213-947-6926. Again, that is 213-947-6926. And with packages starting at $75 a month, you and your business can be set up for stability for years to come. So give them a call. So I'll just contextualize it this way, just really quickly, and then we'll get into how he didn't do that. He being Ingram didn't do that. You talk a lot about making a decision within a second or a second and a half of catching the ball and going from there. I sent out a tweet tonight that I think Ingram possessions should never last more than 5 dribbles, because if they go longer than that, it usually doesn't wind up very well for him. And for the most part, or for good chunks of tonight's game, and then over the last few games, he's doing a lot better of making quicker decisions when he catches the ball and putting himself into not just better position on the court, but also posture-wise, getting himself physically ready to make that type of decision and not force him, not rush that decision, right? Because that's kind of the downside of trying to play that way and trying to install that rule is it forces guys to sometimes rush things. He's done a pretty good job of handling that. But when the Lakers, you mentioned the six-minute mark, late in the fourth quarter, he reverted back into the ISO-heavy 8 to 9 to 10 second long possessions with the basketball, and it was really hurting the team. And it's not, I'm not going to put all of this loss on him. Everybody had something to do with giving away that late lead there, but that's kind of where the problem started. And it's so frustrating to watch him play the way that he did and then revert back. It was so painstakingly obvious, like, no, don't do that. You did it.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, for some reason, I've never understood this. We've talked about this before. Games like that in the last few minutes almost always revert back to some sort of like ISO one-on-one type of situation. And, you know, Kuzma had a few possessions like that as well. He hit a nice step back, but also had a, you know, a turnover and
a couple missed shots at the rim,
right? It's just with Ingram in particular, to me, it just goes back to the whole like, there's a lot of value in him as a player. He's not doing the things, he's doing too much of the things that he's not as good at.
Yeah.
Right. And like, it goes back to the idea of like him being something that he's not. Like, yeah, he can, like, he had this beautiful inside out into a crossover, created space for himself off of a ball screen. But by and large, when he's had the ball in his hands, those are inefficient possessions for himself and for others. It's when it comes off of something else, right? And it's, but when you're using that many possessions, for one, the consistent, like, his assist to turnover ratio is almost even. It may be even, in fact, after this game, right? These two assist, five turnover type of nights are indicative of why, and even when you go beyond the individual scoring, which he's not particularly efficient at when he's creating those shots with the ball in his hands, like, it's like, why are we doing this thing that he's not as good at when there's so many other things that he does well? Why are we doing that so often?
Yeah, I completely agree. There was even a play to the point where I think it was Fred Katz. Yeah, it was Fred Katz wrote an article earlier this year. It was really interesting about the NBA's most on point or precise passers, the guys who can handle pick and roll situations and make that kind of pass and put it on the money so that the shooter is catching it in that shooting pocket consistently, right? There was a play, and you'll see it, you might even recognize it as I'm talking about it, but there was a play where Ingram had the ball on the right side of the court, dribbled into the left side of the court, collapsed the defense, kicked the ball out. Josh Hart wide open. Was wide open.
And he had to put jump the
pass
to catch
up
it.
High. Yeah. He put the pass up high. And the problem there, though, is it's twofold. Ingram has the ball for so long that Hart has to shoot that shot, right? But Hart isn't in rhythm because he catches the ball up high. And because Hart wasn't able to get that shot off, the entire possession was kind of ruined and it hurt. And that was Ingram making the right play. He's just not quite capable of being that kind of player right now. And it's a bummer to watch because he can be very good. He can be very, very efficient if he's used in the proper way. But I don't know if it's a matter of him reverting back to those bad habits, the coaching staff pushing those bad habits. I don't know what the balance is there, but at some point, and we keep on, this is roughly the 37th time we've had this different conversation about him, some iteration of it, but at some point they need to figure this out. You know, I did the thing I tell myself I shouldn't normally do, but I fired off a really hot take after. But this feels like the kind of game that really starts to push him out the door. Because if Kuzma's going to play the way that he played down the stretch of this game, and the Lakers are going to hopefully raise their level up to title contention, like, they can't have somebody who just does not fit in the way that he does in the way that they use him. It was actually painful to watch those 6 minutes. It was tough.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that is the deployment of how he's used versus him, right? Like, to me, it's more of a deployment issue. To me, it's more of a deployment thing, right? Mm-hmm. And now, part of it is his internal mentality of like, this is what he even said before the game. I'm going to be, you know, a lot more ball or more ball dominant in this game. I don't know if he said a lot, but he said, I'm going to be more ball dominant in this game. And he sees himself as a go-to guy. Mm-hmm. And that may be problematic in terms of if you wanted to deploy him differently, would he do it?
Right. That's what I'm kind of touching on. I don't totally. I have no idea what the balance there is, but go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know him well enough to answer that question. And if it's a no, if it can't be, like, that's problematic. That said, nobody's really worked toward like trying to get him to play differently, you know? And so we're like in year three of deciding this is who he is and how he should play. And of course, he's not going to turn around right away. That being said, like, there's value there. There's like, he was not bad this whole game. We saw it's easy to see like there's something there. That doesn't mean like he doesn't fit overall. It's just he doesn't fit in the way that they want to use him. It'd be the same as like being
that's a good way to put it.
Lonzo, we need you to be a high ball screen point guard that's scoring 20 points a game. And then you get mad at him for not doing that.
Shaq, right? We need you to be a stretch five.
Right. The only difference with Ingram is that it's not that obvious. And this is where always the argument and the debate comes in. It's not as ridiculous as Shaq being a stretch five or Lonzo being a 20 point per game guy. It's he's good enough at it to where you can talk yourself into it. And he's skinny and he's got those long arms. Still in year three, very easy to look at him as this baby, right? This guy who's, oh, just look out in these next couple of years. But the reality is that his second contract is coming up fairly soon. And they need to start defining kind of what he is, especially alongside LeBron. Or maybe, you know, like you said, maybe it's something that
he becomes
Dallas for Anthony
Davis.
Seems
like that's New Orleans' problem.
That's
a really good way to put it. I completely agree. I'm not going to add anything to it. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we are going to, again, I want to send everybody off into the New Year weekend and into the weekend in general on a high note. Kyle Kuzma played his ass off offensively. I really like the way that he approached, and the Lakers needed somebody to kind of take charge. And watching him actually go out and get the ball and be that guy, that was kind of fun to watch. So we'll talk about that here in a second. So two notes here that I'll start with. I'll start with the less shocking one first. The second one, I'm legitimately going to get a wow out of you. But the first one, it really, I mean, we've said it all along that Kuzma is miles ahead of where we thought he would be offensively, skill-wise. The type of moves that he's able to make are really incredible given where he was drafted, right? That goes kind of without saying here. What struck me tonight, and this is where everybody listening to the show might drop whatever they're holding. I've always kind of fought back on the idea of like the Kobe Mamba mentality, the winner's approach to the game, whatever. But the way that he went out, the Lakers were just reeling completely. And the way that he went out and just said, no, give me the effing ball. I'm gonna make these plays. Enough with whatever Brandon is trying to do over there. Give me the ball. Let's try to figure this stuff out. That's where it's nice having an older second year player that he has a little bit more gumption to him. But that's just given where the Lakers are going to be with LeBron James and where this team wants to be heading in these next few years here, you need somebody with that type of assertiveness and confidence in himself for those big moments. And this was a game that was could obviously go either way. And the way he rose to that moment, I think, is a huge development.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he offensively was very good and very assertive, right? Very aggressive. That's not something you need to ever worry about with him. And the difference between him and B.I., because I think Ingram is those things too, but he is more skilled and fluid. So he's able to get jumpers up more mm-hmm. frequently than BI does, and get clean quality looks as a result of that. I did not like his game on the defensive end tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was really bad in the first quarter. I thought it was a dumb foul walking under Justin Jackson on a three that helped them tie the game at 110, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that assertiveness, can do too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was a night where there were examples of that. Maybe I'm just being greedy with it. I want a more well-rounded game out of Kuz, and I don't feel comfortable kind of critiquing Brandon and then just letting Kuz off the hook. He was a minus 13 tonight. And I, you know, box or plus minus can be deceptive in a single game, but I thought that he was part of the reason why they were down 13 in the minutes that he played. So I love it in Kuz, and there's a lot there. And I know the Lakers franchise loves him. I want to see more of a balance from him.
I think what it kind of came down to was, for all young players, like in every stage of basketball, it comes down to, all right, the best way that I know how to impact this game is by scoring, you know? And I think in his assertiveness on one end, he was focused on that type of assertiveness on that end and only on that end. And was using all of his mental focus over there and not where you also need to focus on the defensive, especially against a team like the Kings who can shoot as well as they do. For me, the Lakers, before LeBron showed up, you and I mean, we didn't talk obviously as much last year, before we had the show together. But it was just so damn frustrating to watch game after game after game close late in the fourth quarter and have all the guys just kind of look at each other like, who's going to do it? Like, who's, do you want to try this possession? I guess you can go this possession and then I'll come back and try it next time. Tonight, Kuzma just kind of stepping up and seeing where they were and the direction that the offense was heading in. I want to kind of bring this conversation full circle. I want the guy to do that, to be Lonzo, so that he knows how to distribute those plays. And maybe you don't require Kuzma being so focused on one half of the game and only on one half of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be
that'd be ideal,
right?
yeah. That's. Oh, I just found out that that was tough. Oh, the last part that I wanted to have a conversation about here, it was the first of a few games. It seems like that the Lakers aren't going to have LeBron. Were you able to take any notes on the way that it appears that they're going to approach these next few games and try to stay afloat while he's out?
Yeah, they played pretty fast in this game. Now, Sacramento plays at the fastest pace in the league, at least last mm-hmm. I checked. So maybe that has something to do with it. But the personality of most of this game was very, like, Lonzo had his fingerprints all over it, right? I feel like he really controlled the feel of that game, the mm-hmm. up and down, the really aggressive, really fun, everybody all over the place. Luke shortened his rotation to 8 men for most of the night. Svi got in for a couple minutes and Caruso did. I thought Caruso played too many minutes and he didn't do anything wrong, but I thought the Lakers went small to match Sacramento. And when they went small, and so you had like Kuz at the 5 and Lance at the 4. This is the fourth quarter that I'm talking about. Caruso was out there as well. And I would have liked to see him stay with that 8-man rotation. But I do think that we got to see a little bit, like we need JaVale back so badly, you know, like this game was too fast for Zubats tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see if some of his value drops off without Rondo and LeBron. He seems to be a guy that's candidate to be the most impacted by that as a pick and roll big type guy. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we saw kind of what they're going to be like, and it was with Lonzo controlling a lot of the action.
Yeah, if those of you are watching or trying to figure out the differences in Zubats' game tonight versus previous nights, look at the amount of space he was catching the ball with off of LeBron passes versus off of Lonzo or Kuzma or Ingram passes. it's pretty breathtaking, the difference in the amount of space and time that he has. I mean, LeBron just commands so much gravity that, of course, Zubats is going to have forever when he catches the ball, comparatively speaking, forever whenever he has the ball in those spots. The other thing, I like that you mentioned how fast they played. And it kind of, you know, we've already talked about this a lot in regards to Ingram and how quickly he makes decisions when he's playing well. But all of the guys, it was almost like Josh Hart was catching and shooting about as quickly as I've seen all year.
Yeah, good observation. Yeah.
So I really think that it's not just a matter of pace in transition, but also pace in the half court that they're really trying to push. And I thought that was of note. We'll see if that carries over game by game, but I certainly thought that seems to be something that they're really focusing on over the next few games.
Man, I wanted them to be rewarded for how they played tonight, you know, and they made mistakes down the stretch. This is something they earned this loss for sure. And Bogdanovich went nuts, but Bogdanovich is prone to doing that. And they made mistakes on the perimeter with him coming off of screens. Not that last play. I mean, that was a tough shot that was pretty well contested. That, you know, that's a it happens type thing. But they made too many attention to detail. That's what it comes down to me. The young core played well, but one of the most common threads in the mistakes that young players make is regarding attention to detail. Like there was a play, I don't remember what ended up happening. It may ended up, I think they ended up scoring on the Jackson when he got fouled, but there was a play where a three ball went up and like both Hart and Ingram just stood there and they got the offensive rebound.
It was that play. You were talking about it when you were talking about Kuzma's mistakes defensively.
Was that the play where he walked into Jackson?
Like right between those two guys, and I just
watched
them
stand there, and I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Even on the play where the Kings missed all those layups, there were four Lakers standing around the basketball.
Right, go get the friggin' ball. Yeah,
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 yeah.
And I just wish they. I mean, we're more negative because they lost, right? Yeah. But I would have loved to see them rewarded for how they played. That was a good performance by the young group.
Yeah, yeah. And I still think there was a lot to build off of moving
forward. For sure.
You know, it just featured a Draymond Green at the very end. And not the kind of Draymond Green that is gimmicky and refuses to shoot three-pointers and helps the Lakers win, but like the Draymond Green where you walk away needing ice. That'll do it, though, for this week and this episode of Locked On Lakers. We're still kind of sort of in holidays phase. I'm going to once again be out of town for now a wedding this upcoming weekend, but I'm going to try to record really quickly a show Sunday, a mailbag show, the typical one. So get your questions into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review, and I will get to those Monday, Tuesday. We'll see how that looks. But for now, have a great weekend. Please stay safe over the holiday weekend. If you're going to get out and celebrate the new year, hop in an Uber. This game required an Uber for good stretches of it, so I hope that they played it safe as well. But please stay safe over the new year weekend. Get your resolutions in order, and we will talk to you again next week. Have a good new year, Pete.
You too, my man.